Good morning to everyone here. It is really good to see everyone this morning. Everyone, I trust everyone has come with anticipation this morning, didn't you? Anticipation for the Lord being here and speaking to us, and opening up His Word to us, and such beautiful singing. I think we're just very blessed. This morning, as we were praying, I just had to ask the Lord, why is it that here we are this morning, totally free, while there's so many in the world that don't have the privilege to come together? Either they don't have the means to come together, or they're persecuted, or there's war, and the church has been tore apart, and for various reasons. And here we are. We didn't have any fear. We rose this morning and came to church, and we just took it for granted everything will be fine. And it is, right? I'm grateful to God for that this morning. Really am. Could we just kneel together to pray before we start? Father, we thank you this morning for saving us from our sins. Thank you for the deliverance through Christ. Thank you for the peace and joy in our hearts. Thank you for how you have taken us from where we were to where we are today. And we know, Lord, that you want to take us farther. We thank you for this privilege of being together as a church, as a local body. We ask that even this morning you would continue to speak to us. Thank you so much for the words of exhortation that we had in the opening and the children's lesson and the songs we could sing and lift our voices to you, Lord. Thank you for all that. God, as we continue here, I'd ask in Jesus' name, would you come and give me thoughts and inspiration that I could communicate what you've given me? And I ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and help us to take another step in our understanding and in our walk and in our personal lives. Help us to move forward. Thank you for all that. I ask that you would take even the words that I speak, apply it into the hearts of the brothers and sisters way beyond what I even share. So thank you for all that in Jesus' name. Amen. I am going to continue the value of the church. Part two. I'd like to continue, and I'm not sure that I am going to finish today. I'd like to share today and maybe finish another time. Not sure whether that we'll be able to complete everything here today. I'd like for us to start with some thoughts out of the book of Hebrews, if you could turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, I'm going to start reading in verse 11, where it says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be understood, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I'd like for us to consider that one of the great blessings in the church is this. You know, we're all here together, and God has endowed us with gifts to be able to minister one to another. And with all those things, it's the will of God that we continue to grow on a daily basis. I have to give you a little story. Last fall, you know, we have some cows, some beef cows there, and we were separating some of our cattle last fall, and as we were doing that, we had one cow that had a calf, and the calf was really growing quite well. And when we separated the cows, the one calf got left behind with the other group of cows. And after we were finished, we discovered it. And I looked at the age of the calf and I said, she's a little bit on the young side to be weaning yet, but I think we'll leave it. And well, the days passed, and about a month or two later, I kept watching that calf, and it looked like the calf literally got stunted. Okay, she had plenty of grass, but she wasn't getting the nutrients that she was earlier. And it seemed like for a number of months, she was literally stunted. There was other calves coming that were born much later, months later, that came up past her size and kept on going faster than what she did. Today, she's doing great. But I'd like to just give you that to consider that within the church, there are too many. Can we say it that way? There are too many of us who have gotten converted. We have gotten born again of the Spirit of God. We've been growing spiritually, and somehow something has happened. Something has happened, and we're sort of stunted in our growth. Okay? That calf, I mean, it didn't have that nice, sleek look. It looked, it just had that stunted look. And I think in many, many churches, and I'm going to say even among us here, it is easy for us to come to the place where as we're moving forward in our walk with the Lord, something happens and we become stunted. And maybe we don't realize it for a time. We're just sort of there. And then finally, something happens and we continue to grow again. The church, it's God's will that we as a church are functioning in such a way and our lives are open and receptive to God that as a brotherhood, as we're ministering one to another, there is a continued growth to where we're constantly, sometimes the steps are pretty small, you know, coming up the stairway, there's pretty good sized steps. And sometimes in our walk with the Lord, those steps are a bit small, but we keep moving a little step at a time and we move forward. Like to just tell us, encourage us that it's the will of God. That's one of the values of the brotherhood, is this brotherhood, as we're working and functioning together, God uses that to help us. And as I observe those who are sort of sitting out on an island by themselves, it just seems like they're not growing. They're not moving on with the Lord. And God has brought the church, us as brothers and sisters, together to help us to be able to do that, to move forward step by step. But strong meat belongeth to them that that are of full age, even to those that by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, after a little bit of time here, we want to go a step farther. Last time we looked at on the side of everyone having gifts. God has given gifts to everyone to be a blessing one to another, to function. But then there's also gifts that are specifically meant to minister within the body, or administration, gifts of administration for the edification of the body. And we'll look at that after a little while here. I think maybe we'll just turn to the book of Ephesians first, read some of those verses, but I'd like to just look at the purposes that God has put some of those within the church. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, we want to take a look at that. Ephesians 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." I think we'll stop there. I want to look at, first, before we look at the specific gifts, I like to just consider some of the reasons that God has placed these gifts into the church, and what they're supposed to, what is supposed to be accomplished in our midst with all this. Verse 13 talks about, till we come into the unity of the faith and unto the knowledge of God, knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that's quite a mouthful. Somehow, by God miraculously placing these gifts upon men, and we're going to look at some of these gifts, but God has placed those in the church that somehow by that, all of us here this morning can somehow come to a more full understanding, where we have a more full comprehension of God and our walk with the Lord, and we all, you know, we're saying the same things. We, you know, we understand the Word of God and our hearts are coming together. Sometimes there's churches that things are going apart. But that's not God's will. It's God's will that things are coming together, and our understanding of God and in the way that God works within us, it's, you know, our hearts are opening up. Sometimes people come to church and don't receive what God is wanting to give them because their minds are on other things. Like we heard this morning, right? There's worship, praise, all those things. Where our heart is, that's where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. And sometimes, brothers, there's church, and we're not a part of it. Maybe we're a part by name, we're a part by, we've joined it, but our hearts aren't really there. But somehow, in the middle of coming together, and we lift our voices this morning, and we sing, and then the word is taught, and there's children's lesson, and there's more preaching. And as we do all that, there's a formulation of our understanding of God, and our and it's expanding, and our love for God, as we give ourselves to that, our love for God continues to move forward because of the effect that it's having in our midst. That's what God is looking for. God wants us, as we're gathered, not only here on a Sunday morning, but beyond that. See, we rub shoulders beyond just Sunday, right? Wednesday nights we have services. Not only that, we invite each other into our homes and we sit together and we talk and share. And these things, as we talk about the Word, there's things that are continuing to happen within our hearts. If our heart is at the place where God can do that. But it's God's will that He has given these gifts, and as we're functioning together, our understanding, our perception of God, our walk with the Lord, our community, all these things are moving forward. Now if you take church away, and all of a sudden, we're an individual family, and by the way, we have good fellowship in our home. We've got good fellowship in our home. But I'd like to just tell you that sometimes I get this feeling that, I have it pretty much together. And then I listen to the word being preached, and I'm talking with other brothers, and I say, that's right. My understanding of God and His Word is actually not near as big as I sometimes think it is. Do you follow what I mean? God uses other brothers to stir me. God uses gifts. God uses the brotherhood to help me grow. And honestly, I look back at the last 20, 25 years, and I look at the influences that brothers have had on my life, and I say, that is a direct blessing from God. If I wouldn't have had some of those influences, I don't know where I'd be. I know I wouldn't be where I'm at spiritually today if I wouldn't have had those influences. And that's one of the beauties that God has given us as a church, is to have that, bring those things together to where we help each other. We help each other, and we continue to move forward. So, it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. So, if you look at those words, it's talking not only of God and I. Okay? Sometimes I hear people say that, well, it's only between God and I, and the brothers don't really matter. I've heard people say that. But here it says, until we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of God, of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, let me just give you a little illustration. Some time ago, I was with some brothers in another state. And these brothers were having some struggles in their midst. And there were some brothers that were saying, I'm saved by grace. There were other brothers that were saying, I'm saved by... Well, they didn't say I'm saved by works. They said, the works that I do, that's what I don't have. I'm not saved if I don't have any works. And there's other terminologies like that that were being thrown around. And guess what? There was confusion in the air. And rather than coming together on a biblical understanding of that whole thing, see, there's truth with what they were all saying. There's truth with it all. And yet there was some strong leanings one way and strong leanings another way, and rather than coming together, they were going apart. And it's the will of God that as a brotherhood, those things continue to come together so that we all say the same things. We have the same understandings. We're moving forward together in the unity of the faith. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. So we're not tossed around. I will say it this way. There's many of you that were not here some 20 years ago. There's a couple of you that were part of that. But we divided the church right around 20 years ago. And after the church was divided for some time, there was doctrines and things that came into the other divide. And it seemed like things were being tossed around. There's lots of things that were being questioned. There's wrong doctrines, wrong views, there's just all kinds of turmoil. The church is meant to bring a stability to all that and not for it to be going in the other direction. And that comes as with the gifts that God places into the body. As we listen to each other, we give understanding. Obviously, there's administration, all those things. It's a will of God that those come together. And we're not tossed to and fro, but we come together, and God teaches us, and things move together and between us and God. It's this way and this way, both. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait. Here's another one that's also there, and we're not tossed around, but it specifically mentions that we may grow up into him which is the head. Which is the head. Christ is the head. And as a brotherhood we're functioning, we grow into Christ, which is the head. Our brothers, I mean, I tell you, I'm challenged, brothers. As I sit here and I listen to others sharing, I listen to testimonies, I listen to brothers preaching, or I sit in homes, many times I come away and say, that's a direction that I need to continue to head. And I come away saying, I don't know Christ in the fullness that I really should. And I'm just challenged. There's a challenge in my heart. And there's just a longing to go farther, to know him, that we may grow up into him which is ahead. And it says, till we become fitly joined together by that which every joint supplieth, a continued fitly joined together. Sometimes things become dysfunctional. Even sometimes on the workplace, all of a sudden, things can become very dysfunctional. Can you just imagine with me if there's 10 people on the workplace and everyone shows up and everyone decides today, this is what I'm going to do. And the other one decides, this is what I'm going to do today. And the other one decides, this is what I'm going to do today. And the other decides, this is what I'm going to do today. All of a sudden, you end up with it's not coming together. There's orders that need filled, and it's not coming together. The one, in the furniture industry, you know, there's panels to be made so you can put the furniture together, and there's face frames to be made, and there's staining to do, and you know, there's a schedule, this stuff has to be done, and it's not flowing together, it's not organized, not coming together. Well, that's how it is in the church sometimes. There's brothers and sisters that decide, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And God says, no, I have an end in mind back there, and we're all going to have to somehow come together and join our hearts together so that we can move forward, so that we can join our hearts together so that we can reach that one common goal, fitly joined together. And all of a sudden, everyone has the things to supply, and it's very, very necessary. And the things are brought together, and quite wonderful things happen. You bring everything together in a very beautiful way. Wonderful things come out of that. Things get accomplished that don't any other way. But it's because they're fitly joined together. I think we all know situations. We've all been involved in situations where things have been dysfunctional. And where things are dysfunctional, there's a reason for all that. There's reasons. If things are dysfunctional, there's reasons behind all that. And brothers, we need to do it the Lord's way till we become fitly joined together. Now, here are five things mentioned in the church that God has, five gifts mentioned that the Lord places within the church. Gifts of administration or gifts of, these gifts can function as a part of the leadership, and sometimes not necessarily, sometimes they're a part of the, of leaders and of the actual leadership, and other times they're gifts that God gives to the brotherhood that help all that. But here there's five things mentioned. Four. Prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are the four things that are mentioned here that are to help in this administration to bring things together. And first of all, he starts by the one with prophets. And, you know, sometimes that word is sort of thrown out there. Oh, so-and-so is a prophet, or so-and-so, those words are sort of thrown out there sometimes. Let me just give you a little bit of an overview. The gift of prophecy is given to some. And and people that have this gift, what normally happens is there will tend to be more of an ability to see farther into the distance. There are many that just sort of today where you know we need some food for after lunch, so everyone has sort of prepared for all that. But we need much more than that. We need to prepare for the winter to come, and so our sisters have been preparing not only for today but also for the upcoming winter. Well, the gift of prophecy, brothers that have those gifts tend to see a bit farther than just the here and now. It doesn't say they're always right, but there's an ability to see further and beyond what a lot of people tend to normally look at. Here's one of the things that tends to happen. Because of that ability, most other people will be looking more at the things that are happening today and not look at that, and they tend to be a bit, people with that gift also tend to be a bit abrasive. Let's just say it that way, a bit abrasive. I mean, is that a kind way to say it? There's a tendency to be a bit abrasive with all that. Now, that's not right. There's tendencies toward that. More maturity, God brings those things where there's easier to share. But there are tendencies for people with a prophetic gift to be more abrasive. And you brothers will share something, and you say, you know, deep down, many of us will go, that doesn't feel very good. Why did he have to say that? Those are the responses that often come. Okay? Those are the responses that come. Now, many times the things that they're saying is right. Sometimes they're a little bit overbearing, maybe. Sometimes, you know, they can also be wrong. But there's an ability to look farther. Well, here's one of the beautiful things, and I like to just I'll just put it out there. God has given within the church gifts, and if there would be lots, if we would just really, really enjoy that gift, guess what would happen with the people that have a prophetic gift? Their head would sort of get bigger and bigger and bigger because I can see further than anyone else. I can see things that no one else sees, and what I say is right, and the head becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Okay, so that's what would happen. Okay, so God has sort of tempered that gift with, and the negative things is there, it tends to be a bit abrasive. It tends to be a bit abrasive. Now, those are the areas that, you know, that people with that gift, they have to work and work and work at that to bring things to a place where they can, with a humble heart, being able to give in a right way and not in a fleshly way. You know, there's a tendency to just have that flesh sort of up front and everyone, it's exposed, everyone sees it, you know. Do you follow what I'm saying? You flip that around and the gift of mercy. You know, a person with a gift of mercy, there's other things that might be lacking in that gift that they don't see far ahead like someone with a prophetic gift does. But I don't see all that, but everyone loves someone with a gift of mercy because they're just so loving, they're so tender. They're just there. It just, and so it actually says that more abundant honor is given to those parts that lack. And so all of a sudden, there's this tendency to draw back from someone that has a prophetic gift and really embrace, you know, someone with a gift of mercy. Do you follow what's happening? The Lord has endowed gifts within the brotherhood like that so that there's an equality. So there's a working together, you know, where there's more abilities, there's, you know, the negative side is the abrasiveness, and it's just not as well accepted. And so brothers with those gifts, really, they have to really, open their heart to God in that area. But on the flip side, there's others that, you know, in the other gifts that... we need all that coming together. Okay, so in the gift of administration, some he's given this gift. He calls it a prophet. And if you look up that word, it simply means to speak forth the mind and will of God. To speak forth the word of God. To speak forth and share what God is doing in a situation. Here's another one. Evangelists, God has given within the church. He has given some the gift of an evangelist. An evangelist is one of those who his heart and his passion is to share the gospel with others. To just come and hey, let's all brothers, you know, we need to go share the gospel. Those people are lost. They need to hear the gospel. And there's a tendency to, feel like if we'd all be evangelizing, all our problems would go away. They just all float away. You know, that's the answer to the church, is evangelizing and all our problems will go away. Well, you know, we don't want to be in our focus, do we? That's how the gospel is spread. God has put gifts within the church that will motivate and stir up others to share the gospel, to spread the good news, so that others can also hear the gospel. God has placed that gift within the local church. He's put it there, and he wants that word to go out. Not everyone has that gift, and there are certain gifts within the church, and it's normally pretty strong gifts. You know, people that have that gift, they're pretty strong. God has endowed them with that burden, and they have that burden for it to go out. Here's another one, pastors. Pastors. Sometimes, I like to just clarify, a pastor, that word is often used as a leader of the church. And I don't know that that's necessarily all wrong, but it's, to clarify it, the gift of a pastor, it's a gift and not an office. Many use that word as a as he's the pastor of the church. Scripture doesn't give indication that a person has to have that gift in order to be a leader. And just because you're a leader in the church doesn't make you that you have that gift. A pastor is a gift. That's a gift and not an office. If you look at Scripture, there's basically two sets of qualifications, one for a deacon and one for an elder. And within all that, the gift of a pastor is often found. Now, it can also be someone that's not ordained to the leadership. And the same way with a prophetic gift or the gift of an evangelist, it doesn't have to be someone that's ordained to the leadership in order to be there functioning and blessing others. But the gift of a pastor would be someone who just has a natural gift of shepherding, to watching over the flock, similar to what a shepherd would with sheep. That word is used in the description of a pastor, a shepherd, someone that watches over the sheep. And he's watchful. He sees, he cares, he directs, he corrects, all those things. Is just a natural gifting within a person in those areas as a pastor. Here's another one, teachers. Teachers is another one that's also given. And some of these are also used, both the prophet and the teacher would be used, that God gives those to all. But here they're used specifically for the edification of the church. It says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And like I mentioned last time, a teacher is someone who just has such a beautiful way. He'll just open the Word of God, and here at Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 1, and he'll start and he'll preach a whole message on two verses. And you look and you just said, wow, I never knew all that was in those two verses. It's just astounding. It just opens up the Word of God. It's just such a beautiful thing. It's a gift of a teacher. And here's the beautiful thing. You bring all these gifts together in the administration to help guide the overall direction of the church. You bring these together, and it's such a beautiful thing. Oh, it's made so the church isn't tossed to and fro. It's made so that we come to a more clear understanding of God and His Word. It's made so that we can help each other. And just everything just comes together, moves together toward God. Such a beautiful thing. Because let me tell you, brothers, I'll just tell you this. I, with my little gifts that I have, many times just see, a little corner. And then I sit and I hear the other brothers share, and I hear the other brothers share, and hear the other brothers share. And all of a sudden, it gives me much more of a rounded view, and I can look at that and say, that's right. That's right. That's the direction to go. And it's all these gifts coming together and complementing each other. But here's where the big problem comes. There's many within the church who feel like the way I view things is the best. You follow what I mean? The view that I have, that is the way. It's the best way. I mean, I just see it so clearly. That's just how it is. Maybe I should just give you the story. I know I've used it in years gone by, and I mean, it's an old story, but I really love the point. Sometimes it's like these different blind men that were asked to describe an elephant. They couldn't see. So here's this big lumbering elephant, and the one man walked up to the side, and he started feeling the side. And it's like, oh, this elephant, he's just like a wall. He's a little bit rounded, and he felt the side. And the other elephant was back a little further, and he was at his big legs, and he's like, oh, this elephant is just like a tree. He felt, felt the legs. It's smooth, and it has this big trunk, and he says, it's just like a big old tree. It's huge, it's just like a big old tree. And there's another one that was behind, and he had a hold of the tail. And feeling the tail, and feeling it. And he said, this is just like a little branch, this tiny little branch. And he said, no. And another one that had a hold of the trunk, and he was describing it. And who was right? Who was right? They were all right. They were all right. But the way I see it is definitely the best way of looking at the elephant, right? That's how I feel. Every time. And we're all that way, brothers. The way that I view this elephant is always the best. And the way the others see it, it's not right, or it's halfway there. Okay? But you bring all those descriptions together, and we can somehow have a more perfect view of Christ and understand God's love for His people and understand how He wants us to be working within the church and reaching out to others and bringing the lost in and those that are in our midst who have needs. We're to be there and we're to be helping them. We're supposed to, ought to be reaching out and ministering to those hurting ones. We're to be there looking at what the truth of the Word of God says and say, this is the way to go. Let's go in this direction. And we open up the Word of God, and it gives us all this understanding and how God views us and the world and our children, all those things. And as we together, as a brotherhood, we come together, we have a very
beautiful understanding of God and His Word and how He wants us to move forward. But the problem is, you and I, are selfish in the inner core of our being. And that's why we have all these clashes. That's why we have all these problems that we need to sort through and work through, because there's too much flesh on the inside of us that we haven't surrendered to God. Oh. We need to be functioning together with a love and a care for us, for each other. The other day, one of my sons, he came home from work and he said, "I'm not sure what's going on in my eye, but," he said, "it feels like there's something in there." And, well, I didn't get out the sledge to try to fix that. But you know how you do. You very gently, tenderly try to hold that eyelid open, and the eyelid just wants to do this, you know. He wanted it to close, and I looked, and I couldn't see it, and I couldn't see it. I just could not see it. Next morning, he said, "It seems to have come out by itself." And I looked, my eyes couldn't see it, you know, but it felt like a beam in there. You know, sometimes, brothers, we have these situations. I have had some blind spots where I literally could not see the needs that I had within my body, or just the way I functioned. And I had to have brothers come to me and put their finger on certain issues in my life and say, "There's something for you to look at." I've had to have that happen to me because I didn't see it all right. And when they told me, I looked at it and I said, "I don't see that. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I don't see it." And so I continued to take it before the Lord. As I continued to do that, on down the road, all of a sudden I looked back and said, "Oh, okay. Now I think I understand what he was trying to say." But I kept my heart open in those areas. And even though I couldn't see everything right away, sometimes it takes time for those things to really unravel ourselves, unravel and for us to see. But it's the will of God that we function together in such a beautiful way that it continues to express itself and give us clear direction for the future, clear direction how to relate together. It purges those things out of our life, the selfishness, the pride, all those things. It continues to purge, and we listen to the preaching of the Word, and we again humble ourselves, and we come before God Almighty, and we confess our sins, and we lay down our life, and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and we have our hearts open to our brothers, and we continue to move forward. The value of the church. You put a family out all by themselves, and all of a sudden, they become lone rangers. They become lone rangers, isolated, very narrow-minded. I'll stop there, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Well, that can also happen in the church. We can become isolated in the church, but it's the will of God that we continue to melt our hearts together, melt our hearts together, melt our heart, and listen, to be open. Is the gift of prophecy better than all the other gifts? No. Is the gift of evangelism better than the other gifts? No. Is the gift of a pastor better than other gifts? No. Is the gift of teaching better than the other gifts? No. They're all on the same level. God looks for brothers, and he gives specific gifts, sometimes by the laying on of hands. Sometimes as we ask God and we say, God, give me gifts. There's a situation. I need the ability to somehow meet these needs, and I can't do it. God, would you please give me gifts? And God comes and gives gifts. And yet he does it at his own discretion. He does it as he will. He brings these things and he gives them to us. And it's his desire that the church is in such a state like it was in the New Testament. That the Apostle Paul said, I hear of your estate. I'm hearing things and I'm excited about it. I hear that report. And it's the will of God that the church is functioning together, that there's a testimony that goes out in the local community about this church right here, that Faith Christian Fellowship, that God is there, that they're moving on unto godliness. And oh, what a tragedy it is if the testimony goes out and says there's confusion there. There's bickering there. There's dissension. There's grumbling and complaining there. What a testimony. But oh, if there can be a testimony that goes out of the beauty of Christ. Such a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing. I think I'm going to quit with that today and share the rest later. But I'd like for us to just consider, the value of the local church is way beyond what we many times put on it. There is a tremendous value that God places. And I know local church, we bump into each other and things are hurtful sometimes and things are painful. Many times we need to forgive. Many times we need to lay down our own way. Many times we need to give of our own selves for our brothers, because God is using this to bring us together. I'm troubled sometimes. And just recently I heard another brother say, not here, but in another state, he said, when I had to remove myself from the church, and now I'm really growing in Christ. And I wonder how that is, because I find that when I grow in Christ is when I go through difficult times. Often within the church, not always, but often within the church, there's difficult things I sort through. I yield myself deeper. I give up my will. I humble myself. I pray. I seek God in a deeper measure, and I draw closer to God, and also with time with my brothers. Lord, help us.